This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And this is lucky number three, Zach Valenti, coming at you.
And today we are joined here in the Bad Ideas headquarters by a special guest star. We have with us a extremely talented, extraordinarily wonderful, and just all around amazing human being.
Superlative.
Performer, voice actor. It's Cecilia Lynn Jacobs.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I had some macaroni and cheese pizza, feeling satiated.
Fair enough.
Probably until like next winter.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for letting us drag you out to Brooklyn to be a part of yet another of our podcasting adventures, Cece.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, why don't we get right into it? This is No Bad Ideas. It is the game where we find examples of the worst ideas that humanity has had, things that are ill-conceived, ill-considered, sometimes things that are just ill, just really, really thoroughly rotten to their core. We bring those, we read them to the other hosts and our guests who have all never heard them before and are suitably horrified. And then we have just 10 minutes to figure out how to turn them into the pitch for a good film, a good book, a good magazine article, just any kind of a good story. And Zach, I believe that you are up to bat with our first bad idea today.
I do. And today's is short, sweet, and alcoholic.
Mm.
Oh, what joy.
Coming at you from UPI. Spill causes wine to flow through villages' pipes instead of water.
Oh, I saw this.
I heard about
I saw this.
This.
It's so insane.
That's the most
Italian thing in the world.
Come on.
There's
this
also
is the this is the viral land.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is like,
oh god.
There is a lovely video from the New York Times in this article, which link in the description, with images of this wine pouring out of spouts. But without further ado, March 5th, residents of a small village in Italy had the taps in their houses dispensing red wine instead of water due to a fault at a nearby winery. Locals in the village of, I'm going to screw this up, but Settcani in the Castelvetrano. That's
like the
I
olives.
I think so. Castelvetro are of Modena.
Something like that.
Said the taps in their kitchens and bathrooms were dispensing red liquid instead
maybe
of water Wednesday. And many quickly identified it from the smell as Lambrusco Grasparosa, a locally produced wine. Officials at the winery said technicians investigated and discovered a technical fault had caused wine to leak from a silo into water pipes. The high pressure of the wine leak was enough to displace the water in the pipes, resulting in the spilled alcoholic beverage entering the water supply and the homes of nearby residents.
Oh, God.
The local water board dispatched technicians who were able to repair the issue, causing fresh water to flow again through the pipes. Hmm. The local council apologized to the residents in a Facebook post. Some residents told local media they bottled up as much of the wine that came through their taps as possible before the flow returned to normal.
Hey! I love it so much.
Oh.
And 10 minutes on the clock for this delicious drunken idea.
Yeah, the adult version of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing,
actually.
Oh, my
brain went somewhere totally different, but I like it.
Where did your brain go?
Well, I was like, okay, so there's a two-pronged attack for this. But I think the main thing is that Lambrusco is a carbonated wine.
Oh, really?
So if you look at videos of this business happening, there's like a pink froth that's coming out of the taps too that I really feel like should be capitalized on as much as possible in whatever version of this happens.
I think whatever it is, it should be called Pink Froth. I think that's a great title for it.
Oh, shit.
Oh God.
So
great.
I feel
grape.
Like Sorry. Whatever this is, it needs to be something that is done intentionally, right?
Yeah, that's like some scheme or I mean, I guess it could be an accident, but like then the story is not so much about the leak, but it's about like the intrepid band of roommates who then bottle as much of the wine as they can and try to sell it, like that kind of thing.
So my like the two things that immediately occurred to me is that like there is a story where it's like remaking like modern day Messiah sort of situation, like a Bruce Almighty, but like make it like the weird emo girl because it's 2020.
Yeah. Sure.
And like she's like, you know, she's like gone to find herself and like maybe she's Italian and maybe it's
or
really
like
arty
on study
at the
abroad
beginning
in
of
Italy.
Its shot, or maybe it's like maybe it's like an unfortunate sort of what's the questing lady. Eat, Pray, Love. Maybe it's an Eat, Pray, Love or like Under the Tuscan Sun sort of situation.
That
like,
genre.
I've gone to find my soul.
Sort of like middle-aged women disappointed in love.
Either of those things is fine. Obviously female protagonist or like gender non-conforming protagonist in some way or another. Like takes a job at a winery and like starts accidentally turning random shit into wine the more they know about wine and is like the like weirdest mismatched like Messiah situation as possible.
Sure.
And then it's, you know, it either goes very dark from there or it like ends with a nice little boop on the end and is like a happy love thing.
But it's like the King Midas of wine.
Totally.
Sort of.
Right. Like if imagine someone, we should not do this because it's too on the nose, but like someone goes somewhere to try and like
famous last words on this show, Sarah.
You know? Try and like recenter themselves, get back to get in touch with, you know, the person they were before, like
the thing before the thing happens
and like part of it is perhaps being sober.
And then I was thinking about that
they can't get away from it,
right?
Yeah,
so going dark.
Right. Well,
yeah,
like
we can, well, introspective at least.
Yeah.
I mean there's dark in like the Jesuits come after this scion of the Messiah.
We will wash your feet. We must do it now.
Like, there's that kind of dark.
Right.
And then...
Yeah. Oh, God. There's I'm sorry to insult anyone's
zealous
face.
Jesuits.
I'm sorry, Jesuits. It was just like the first sect that popped into my head.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
Or so, alternatively, it is kind of something in the bent of the... of Colossal, the Anne Hathaway movie, where at the end of the day, it is kind of a metaphor about alcoholism and about, and if you have not seen this movie.
I haven't seen anything, Gabrielle.
It's really good.
It's a movie
That's
about.
What people say about a bunch of things I haven't seen.
It's a movie where, very, very short version, Anne Hathaway discovers that through some shenanigans.
Possibly with lightning.
Possibly related to lightning. A gigantic kaiju monster is appearing in Seoul and doing whatever she does. To the extent of she moves an arm, the monster
moves an arm.
And what is at first kind of a very strange, surreal movie kind of eventually reveals itself to be a metaphor for you think that your drinking and your self-destructive behavior only affects you. But it actually has a blast radius, and kind of all of these people around you are impacted by it without you realizing.
And you need to sort of face up to that in order to move forward and become a better person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so this kind of magical King Midas-esque figure, I could see a story about it being something like that, of kind of you think that sort of going to Italy and spending like, you know, a month there is going to let you move on from all of your troubles. But it's not that simple. You sort of carry your things with you and kind of inevitably turn the things that you touch into them if you don't face up to them.
Oh my God.
Sort of a thing.
Sort of a thing.
Sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing. Got it. Yeah. There's also the version where, like, there's also the gentle boomer lady version where, like, three generations of Italian,
yeah,
whatever's get together and then all of a sudden realize that the pipes are gushing wine and
right.
they've showered in it and it has turned them into whatever interesting plot thing it's turned them into.
Or just
and
like they're
they
trapped
to
on,
like sell it and
yeah,
stuff.
Trapped
more
on
of the young people.
And an estate.
Yes.
That like and you know, then it's sort of like the person who is there for family reunion from New York and doesn't have the time of day for anyone.
Yes.
But when her like morning shower ritual is interrupted by being pelted with red
doused
wine.
In Lambrusco in a foaming wave.
In a pink foam.
You know, there's also the version of this, and I know that this is now pitch like number 7, but this idea is just brimming with possibilities. There's also the version of it where it's the big day that some festival, some party, mm-hmm, something is mm-hmm. happening. Someone, as a prank, just dumps a bunch of coloring into the local water reservoir.
Ooh, yes.
Tells people that it's wine.
So much color.
And gets everyone
Ooh.
Psychologically drunk.
Like an Emperor's New Clothes.
Exactly,
sort of situation.
Yes.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
You know.
But
okay.
For what purpose? To like pull off a heist?
I don't know.
To like.
You know,
sabotage yeah. someone who wants the festival to go smoothly. Like,
there's the version of it that is the pulling off the heist kind of darker version of it. I think that it's probably like starring the cast of Mamma Mia and somebody that just kind of like wants to make sure that the village has a really, really great day before Aww. They go off to college
and they
or
can't,
something.
They can't afford like...
They can't afford yeah. the Lambrusco.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. They can afford the coloring agent. That's right.
Right.
Oh my God. That also doesn't make any sense, but yes.
Not in the least. Not
it
in the least.
Does, however, give me an idea for pitch number 8, which uh-huh. is
yeah.
The very, let's say, profitable large winery
mm-hmm.
in a small town
yeah.
Has just been taking advantage of the local resources
yeah.
for so many years.
Exploiting and, the laborers.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And, you know, it's about time that, you know, they share the wealth, but they'll never do it willingly. But how do you get their wine? You run it through.
Pipes.
Sewage system, yeah.
the,
water
the sewage system.
System.
Oh. The water
yeah.
system.
Right, right. Basically,
those are separate.
The idea being that,
this
like,
is a populist,
in order
to, a populist narrative now,
right?
Right.
Gotcha.
In order to get it out,
this is a redistribution of wine.
Yes,
wine for the people.
A seizing of assets. redistributing. Yeah, by a terrorist group who calls themselves Dionysus.
Nice.
Amazing.
Oh, I love it.
Secret organizations. Have
back
been
to
around.
Bacchus. Yeah, no, yeah. It'll be great.
Yep. There is
Checks
also
out.
The like for pitch number 9. There's also the moody arty mental health PSA situation
uh-huh.
where somebody like thinks that they're doing it. Or like thinks that they are Dionysus and like it's like they must liberate
God
the
of
wine.
Madness as well as drunkenness.
Exactly.
That's right, yeah.
Oh man.
Lord.
Yeah, and also that he gets like what does Dionysus have maenads?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So and then the maenads like come out. Maenads, if anybody is
Oh, they're fun.
Anyway, they're super fun.
Yeah.
And they come and they like rent the
Yeah, they are
rent the people who
women
are
driven
to
madness who tear people limb from limb.
Yeah, there's also that route.
So in the last 20 seconds.
Smile.
Which pitch are we going with? And how does it end?
I kind of want to see this mighty Aphrodite updating
yeah.
of Greek mythology.
No, this is
to
just
the
Bacchae.
Yeah, just
a modern
ton.
Right,
the
yeah.
Bacchae in an economically struggling town in Piemonte.
I love it.
Wait, it's not Piemonte.
How did we end up with the darkest and the grimmest
yeah.
of the bitches?
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, clearly.
And that's time.
What? I want a name for it, though.
Pink froth, I keep telling
Pink
you.
Pink froth. There's like a really the cheapest sparkling wine you can buy in California
mm-hmm.
in the 90s used to be called Pink's Champagne.
Mm.
I don't know if it's still something that is made, but it is disgusting. And it is it's pink. And like nobody else, for whatever reason, can use the name Champagne because of like
tight
marketing things. But Pinks can because they got in there like early enough. They've been making it for so long.
Wow.
So foul.
That's amazing.
What a loophole goal. Jeez.
Right. It's gross. Pink froth, folks.
Well, on that note.
We'll be right back.
Sarah here. We will get back to the bad ideas in just a second, but before we do, let's change things up by talking about a good idea, and that is for all of you to check out Outliers, Stories from the Edge of History, an audio fiction anthology series made by historic royal palaces and our friends at Rusty Quill. Why should you check it out? Well, it is a series of stories from the past, written by award-winning writers, and all told from the perspective of people on the edges of history. In just their first season, they covered everything from a zealous Puritan soldier on a mission to assassinate Oliver Cromwell to the man who was in charge of the exotic beasts that once made their home in the Tower of London. Two full seasons of the show are out right now, featuring stories from people like Wooden Overcoats' David K. Barnes, The Farmeridians' Eli Barraza, and even our very own Gabrielle Urbina. So, look for Outliers, Stories from the Edge of History, in your podcatcher of choice, or go to rustyquill.com/outliers. All right, now back to the bad ideas.
All right, everybody, welcome back to No Bad Ideas. And we are here for bad idea number two, which, let me tell you, folks, I am excited about this one.
He audibly gasped when he was looking at it.
Zach and Sarah were with me when I found this. I actually gasped. And let me tell you, as I was going through it, the article just kept getting better and better, by which I mean, oh my God, how
like
do people
stinky cheese
do this? Let's dive right in. So this is from the sports section of Inside Hook, which is a
fruitful area.
It's a lesser used section of the No Bad Ideas.
Yeah, well, get ready. This is, I think, a sports story to end the sports stories.
Where's it from?
Inside Hook, which is a new source to me. I've never read it.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Sports story to end sports. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hang tight.
And dear listeners, if you would like to read along, a link will be in our episode description. The headline reads, Prison soccer match between rival cartels ends with 16 dead.
Oh, no.
So like medieval soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The actual article reads, a friendly, between quotation marks, soccer match between rival drug cartels at a prison in northern Mexico on New Year's Eve was anything but, as 16 inmates ended up dead.
Don't say.
Really? That's how I treat my friends. Say.
Yeah. Held at the Cieneguillas Men Penitentiary in the state of Zacatecas, the match pitted members of the Gulf and Zetas cartel against one another on the pitch.
Oh, man.
According to the Daily Mail, an argument about a dirty tackle in the penalty box led to firearms being drawn and shots being fired.
At the prison soccer match.
Don't worry, they get there.
What the fuck?
Okay.
A riot followed.
Uh-huh.
And it took the National Guard and prison officials about 3 hours to put an end to the violence.
Wow.
In the aftermath to the riot, which by the way also left 5 inmates wounded, official discovered 4 guns which had presumably been smuggled into the prison on New Year's when relatives could visit for the last day of the year.
How sweet.
Knives were also seized. In addition to the guns and the knives, the ensuing search also uncovered 77 bags of marijuana, a saw, 3 pairs of scissors, 9 phones, phone chargers, 2 hammers, and a bottle of liquor. Zacatecas State Security Secretary Ismael Camberos Hernandez told local reporters some victims had suffered gunshot wounds while others were stabbed or beaten with foreign objects. No guards or police were wounded in the riot. End article. 10 wow. minutes on the clock.
This is how all sports used to go, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Just mean, like it would end when somebody got angry about a bad tackle and it would just go just from there. Riots.
You're talking about around the time of 1066, yes?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is, and even like, you know, Roman cities like Pompeii and Herculaneum had a thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Yes.
But
Romans do love this tactic.
They do.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking about all the like, every single movie about the Christmas truce in World War I has like a really wholesome soccer game
between
the British and the French and the German troops. And I'm just like, this is the opposite of that. Hooray.
Is it? I don't know. They all sound related to me. I just am seeing fields of grimness. Like humans are the worst. Everything about this is bad.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty darn bad. Yeah. It's a pretty bad idea.
And I'm struggling with, because like, part of me is just like, well, you just make that if you just make a cautionary documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like, isn't there some Adam Sandler movie where he plays a quarterback in prison?
In prison, Longest Yard, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh, and it's right. just like, that stuff, I don't know.
Like Waterboy 2?
No, it is Wait, very what? Much not Waterboy 2.
What is Waterboy?
That's where he plays a waterboy. He plays on the side of the football field instead of the football field.
Oh,
I see.
It's weird.
It's a very painfully awkward movie.
Yeah, that's a whole the Adam Sandler corner of the movie verse is like one I think I saw the animated one involving basketball, the one that has the one with the coach with the ear hair.
Uh-huh.
Saying, that's a technical foul.
Yeah.
What is that?
That is called 8 Crazy Nights.
Thank you. Yep. Oh, yes. It was also about Hanukkah.
That's right.
Cool. Yes, it was.
Yep.
I haven't thought about 8 Crazy Nights.
That's
in
around
a long
the time,
time
I put Adam Sandler to bed in my brain.
I think that was smart of you.
So, but to bringing this. It back to the prison.
I think the way to do this, like the only way that I think it makes sense in my head, is the riot and the soccer game are like a giant distraction that the prison is doing on behalf of like one of the prisoners who needs to escape or has some mission to accomplish inside the prison.
Okay.
And like, this is not a sickening, violent eruption of gang rivalries, but like a bunch of people working together to trick the guards.
Hmm.
Oh, I like that.
It's definitely a better twist. I was going to ask, is this basically just that movie? Was it Running Man with the governor? And it's like sort of a reality TV show.
See, I've never seen it, but that is a movie that exists.
Yeah. No, Running Man, but it's basically if you watched any episodes of American Gladiators, Running Man is that, but like you actually die and like some people are wielding like guitar axes. I don't remember it super well.
A what?
It's a very weird movie.
Really like superfluous. Sorry, like it's a little bit Hunger Games-y.
Yeah, like there's a totalitarian government which Schwarzenegger is like an agent of, but then like he realizes they're bad.
Yeah.
He got on the wrong side of it, and he ends up in this deadly game where it's engineered so that no one ever wins.
Mm.
But the idea is that you can like fight your way to victory
and freedom.
Yeah, I like the
it's
idea where the prisoners
for capitalism.
Not far off.
It's a massive. Kinda. It's a metaphor for. What is Arnold Schwarzenegger doing in it, though?
Surviving.
It seems off-brand.
Yeah. Running, perhaps?
Running.
Yeah.
Yes, there's lots of sequences of running.
Six
don't,
minutes
Don't
left.
You worry.
Okay, so somebody needs to get out of jail. Let's say it's somebody who was wrongly imprisoned. The system has let them down.
Uh-huh.
And they may have some sort of condition where they may not make it. And it's like last Christmas. They got to get out.
Okay.
They got to get home. They got to see their...
Right, they're
the
like
grandchild
they're,
who's about to leave the country.
Yeah, it's
to
an
pursue.
Older prisoner, so they don't have like the physical stamina to escape like through a tunnel or something.
And it was a famous trial. Like it was one of those trials that like really seized the nation. And the guilty verdict was a real shocker. So all the other inmates are on board with, no, that's fucked up. Like, you should not be here.
You should go like hold your first grandchild before you die of terminal cancer or whatever it is.
Right.
This is dark, y'all.
Are you, like, I'm
You look everything, not on board.
Everything is dark here.
Yeah.
Everything is dark here.
We are in a basement.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe forget the terminal cancer. Just like remove that part of the equation.
No, it's not just go.
No, but like maybe like it is just someone that was in a very notorious trial and mm-hmm. everyone is on board with kind of like, you know,
this was bullshit.
This was bullshit. You were framed.
Yeah, let's stick it to the man.
Right, exactly. Like, I feel that that probably does a lot to kind of levity a little bit.
And I think then the bulk of the story would be like a younger person being like, we need to do this for this person.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is about like secretly organizing a plot to get them to help them escape.
And you need to get the two cartels to cooperate by fighting with each other, which I think is potentially interesting.
I'm just hearing the whistle from The Great Escape.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Who is this main character?
Yeah. Or go ahead.
No, I'm deep in a like sending people to prison is a weird thing to do to a human.
What are
the conditions that made this whole prison situation possible?
Right.
What is the role of us sitting here in this room commenting on it? Like, what is a good idea in this context? What is a bad idea in this context?
That's fair.
This is like, I'm in that space. I'm not super.
Yeah.
Yay.
We could maybe take it.
I don't think anything needs to change, but I think I might just sit here and be the person in the corner with the finger up.
I mean, I feel that like in that case, we should do a different idea then.
I mean, I don't know. You know, like I don't like how I think this is like something that trips me up frequently, right? Mm-hmm. Like that at the root of things that are entertaining, there are things that are inherently horrifying, right?
Right.
So, like, you know, and this is like something that everybody talks
and telling
about
stories
a lot.
Can reinforce the normalcy of horrific things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And can reinforce the normalcy of horrific things, but also can also do a lot to shift it too. And so, if you don't take that opportunity, then that's also like something that you haven't done. So,
how to complicate this then?
To change humanity.
Uh-huh.
With this bad idea. We shall.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So first of all, there needs to be a cat in this.
Okay.
Yes. And I don't know why. Second
always
of all...
Always a good plan, though.
Yeah, I think so. yeah, like that. and then I think that there is a grandfather trying to make their way home.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, perhaps, but then also there are like faction. Like I think being able to zoom in and zoom out in the layers of narrative that happen in this story. So like at the center of it is this very simple human thing,
mm-hmm.
but you're also kind of like going in between a couple of plot lines on like what's happening at the prison, but also what's happening to like make that prison possible, or like what's mm-hmm. happening in the justice system,
right.
and also like what's happening at the next level up too, so that it's like you're kind of like flipping back and forth. And so like at the center of it is this person who's just trying to have a livable life, but also there's like other
the boardroom
things happening,
where they're like, you know,
And in that, then it becomes this kind of weird Where's Waldo / Escher sort of running around thing. It has that potential to be like that in all of its plot threads and details. So I don't know how to deal with that. Help.
Well, I mean, I think that like the way that you deal with that is you need to kind of abstract outwards.
Mm.
And you need to kind of set it in something that is both has these recognizable elements, but is also kind of a like more heightened world. Like I'm thinking of something like Ready Player One, where there was kind of this society was both a functional society where everyone was quote unquote a free citizen,
mm-hmm.
but things like not meeting certain goals in your job
mm-hmm.
could wind you up in a position of basic incarceration, basically. Yeah. And so I think that it would need to kind of, in order to explore these things, be something where it's kind of a little bit of a sci-fi or a little bit of a at least expressionistic Kafka-esque combination of things.
And I think now we're talking about
take it out of the real world, put it in an apocalyptic world.
Always
often works.
Never
the past.
I won't say never fails.
But it does. Pre-written history past. See the Last Kingdom. Ridiculous show.
Yeah. I'm aware.
Utrecht, son of Utrecht.
Sarah, what were you going to say? We have 2 seconds left.
A book. It's a book series.
Excellent.
Because that way you get around the implications of depicting this visually, and also you can jump around chapter to chapter and be more abstract and have multiple point of view hooks in to give you a more holistic picture of what's going on.
Indeed, and that is time.
Nice.
So
I didn't have time to get the vampire in.
Tell us about the vampire. I'll allow it. Bonus time.
I was thinking
overtime
that at the head of the table in the corporation that's like, our profits are down, we should really build another prison this month. You have Dracula.
Our profits are down. Yeah.
Who forgets why he even got into this prison game? What is money even worth? $1 billion, $2 billion, $3 billion. It's all boring after a while.
Right.
After a lifetime.
He just likes counting.
Thank you, everybody. This has been No Bad Ideas. Bye.
We'll see you later this week.
This has been No Bad Ideas. Produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at patreon.com/nobadideas. And if you love the show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks. See you next week.